Right. Thank you, Jimmy, for that wonderful song. How many of you remember the day you came to the table? Amen. It's a day I'll never forget when God accepted me just as I am and He saved my soul. It's a joyous day to be in God's house today. I walked in today and the sun was shining and I knew it was going to be a good day, but then Johnny told me it's going to be a good day in the house of God. So then I knew it was when he told me. So if you're glad to be here, say amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to go to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3 is where we will be this morning. Now this is one of the greatest books in the New Testament. Of course, the Apostle Paul was writing this to the church here in Rome. And this was a church that the Apostle Paul had never visited before. And he was not sure if he was ever going to get to visit them. He wanted to, but he didn't know if he was going to get to go to Rome and share the gospel with them. So what he did was he sat down one day, I think in Corinth, and he began to write a letter to the church at Rome. And this letter basically contains everything that you need to know about the gospel. The Apostle Paul writes everything in it that you need to know about being saved, about what to do when you are saved, and about basically being glorified after you are saved. So here we come to Romans chapter number 3, and the Apostle Paul, we'll begin reading in verse number 19, is where we'll start this morning. And the Bible says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Then he asked a question, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith." Verse 28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So let's pray. Father, thank You for Your church today. Thank You that You've established the New Testament church, that we as brothers and sisters of Christ can come together and worship You, God. Thank You for the great time that we've already had in Your house today. God, it's just a privilege to be here this morning. God, as we open up Your Word, I pray that You would also open up the hearts of Your people. I pray that Your Word might fall on good ground today. Lord, You know that there's nothing I can say that can help, but the Word of God is still profitable for us today. So I pray You'll use it to help us in our life. God, most of all, if there's one in here who's lost in need of Christ, I pray today will be the day that You draw them and they receive Christ as Savior. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many of you remember the day you got baptized? Amen. Yeah, me too. My uncle got to baptize me, so it was an amazing day for me. But an even greater day for me was the day I received Christ as my Savior. That's a day that I'll never forget the rest of my life. Now, the Bible tells us that a lot of things happened the very moment we got saved. There's a lot of things that happened literally instantaneously the moment we received Christ as our Savior. And there's too many to talk about, but just a few of them are this. The moment we got saved, we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of our body. The next thing is our name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And by the way, there's no eraser in heaven. Once your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's not taken away. You were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Your name was written in heaven. And also we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But there is one thing that happened when we got saved, and that is that God justified us. God justified us. And that is something great that happened, because verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace. In other words, we were justified not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, but we were justified freely because of God's grace. Justification is a great thing that happened. I want to give you a definition of justification this morning. To be justified means this. It is the act of God. It is the act whereby God declares sinners righteous because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Justified means God declares you and I sinners righteous simply because we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, what happened was we were guilty, and the next moment we were declared not guilty. Let me use it as an illustration here. Anybody ever heard of the name O.J. Simpson? Anybody? Why are y'all laughing at it? 1994, the year after I was born, O.J. Simpson stood before the court of law being accused of murdering his ex-wife and her friend. Everybody remembers that, right? Now, everybody in here ought to know that O.J. did it. If you are ignorant enough to think he didn't do it, I'll talk to you after the service. Everybody knows he did it. He wrote a book after the trial that said, "If I did it, this is how I would have done it." It is very obvious O.J. Simpson stood before the court very guilty of what he had done. Yet you know what happened on the last day of that trial? The judge stood up there and the jury stood up and they said, "We declare this man not guilty." And a guilty man was able to walk out free. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you say justice was served? No, justice was not served because a guilty man was able to walk out free. We would say that's not just, right? And it's not. For a person who deserves to be punished for the actions that he did, he was able to go out and walk out free. You say, what in the world does O.J. have to do with the Bible? Let me tell you what happens. The Bible tells us that God is the judge of all the earth. In Romans 3:19, Paul tells us that all the world stands guilty before God. In other words, every single one of us are born into this world as individuals who are guilty before God. We are all sinners. We have all committed sin. Therefore, we are all guilty of what we have done, and we stand before God very, very guilty, deserving to be punished. But the good news is that for those people who are guilty and yet trust in Christ, God one day looks and says, "No longer guilty." That's called the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That sinners can stand before God yet putting their faith in Christ, and God can say, "Now you are no longer guilty." Now, is that just? If it was unjust for a judge to look at O.J. and say, "Yeah, you're guilty, but I'm going to say you're not guilty." Is it just for God to look at sinners and say, "Yeah, you're guilty, but you're not guilty"? It is, isn't it? Now, what I'm asking you is this. How can God wants sinners to be saved. God wants every single sinner on the face of the earth to be saved, and don't let anybody tell you any different. God wants everybody to be saved. But, on the other end of the spectrum, God is holy, God is just, and God has to punish sin. He has to. He wouldn't be God if He wasn't. So how can God save sinners and yet punish sin at the same time? That's what I'm asking. How can God save sinners and punish their sin at the same time? The answer is found in a man named Jesus. I said the answer is found in a man named Jesus. Now there's a great illustration of this in the Bible. Remember the man that was hanging on the cross beside Jesus? More than likely, this man had lived a hard life. This man was probably, he might have been rebellious to his parents. He was rebellious to God. He might have broken every single Ten Commandment that there was. And this man had just lived a hard life as a rebel, just basically running away from everybody, not being caught. But finally, one day he got caught and he was paying the price for the crimes that he had committed. And he was very guilty. And yet that very day, he turned to the man on the middle cross and said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus say? "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." See what just happened? A man who was one moment very guilty of the things that he had done, yet he said, "Lord, remember me." Next moment, not guilty. That's amazing, isn't it? See, there's coming a day where every single one of us are going to stand before God. Every single one of us. And the only way that we are going to be able to go free and inherit eternal life is a word called grace. a word called grace. So let me give you three things this morning. How in the world can it be that God can look at sinners like you and me and say, not guilty? How can God do that and still be just? Say that we guilty sinners are no longer guilty simply because we've placed our faith in Christ. The first way is grace. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace. Now, did it say being justified because of your good works by His grace? Being justified because you're so good? Being justified because you pay your tithe every time it passed by? No, it says being justified for free by His grace. Think about the man on the cross. The only way the man on the cross got to heaven is not because he kept the law. We know he didn't. It's not because he did good works. He probably didn't. It's not because the man on the cross was baptized. The only reason the man on the cross got to heaven that day is because of God's grace. And it's the same exact way for every single one of us. The only way we'll get there is because of God's grace. See, in our country right now, in the United States of America, we have a law. There's a law in the United States of America, and there's a lot of ignorant laws out there. I advise you to look at them someday. There's a lot of laws that you wouldn't even believe they're laws. But for the most part, the law is a good thing. If we didn't have a law, there'd be complete anarchy going on everywhere. Because the law says this: if you murder somebody, you've got to pay the price. And that's just. If you murder somebody, you spend time in jail, you got to pay the fine. If you steal something, you need to pay it back, you need to pay your fine, and you spend time in jail. For the most part, this is what the law does. It gives people what they deserve. The law gives people what they deserve. Now listen, because God is holy, because God is unchanging, He too has a law. And that law is revealed to us in the Ten Commandments. And you see, if we break that law, you and I have to pay the price. And by the way, every single one of us have broken the Ten Commandments. You say, but yeah, not the bad ones. I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery on my husband or my wife. I've just stolen a few things and lied to my parents growing up. You know, we can look at some other people and say, yeah, but I'm not that bad. They're worse than me. They're out there murdering people, committing adultery. I'm not that bad, but it doesn't matter. James says, if you keep the whole law and yet offended in one thing, you're guilty of the whole thing. In other words, the speed limit's 65. Who's guilty? The person going 66 or the person going 95? Both of them's guilty. It don't matter how bad it is, both of them's guilty of breaking the law. So it doesn't matter if we're worse than other people, both of us, or all of us, are guilty of breaking God's law. And you see, because we have done that, the Bible says there's a price to that. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the price for sin is death. You see, the law gives us what we deserve. We deserve death because we've broken God's law. But how many of you are thankful for grace? You see, the law gives us what we don't deserve, what we deserve. Grace gives us what we do not deserve. Grace is God's unmerited, unearned favor towards you and me. Grace cannot be earned, it cannot be merited, it can't be bought. The only thing grace can do is be received. That's it. See, grace and law are always contrasted in the Bible, Brother Johnny. There's a difference between grace and law. Remember, law gives people what they deserve. Grace gives people what they do not deserve. Won't you listen to this? The law says, I must die. Grace says, I already died for you. The law said, I must pay the price. Grace says, I already paid it. The law says, I must be judged. Grace says, I was already judged. The law says, finish the work. Grace says, it's already finished. Amen. You see, grace is probably one of the most... If you were to open that hymn book in front of you, you'd find grace mentioned on nearly 70% of the pages in there. Because grace is one of the most amazing words that is mentioned in Christianity. You see, other religions in this world don't mention the word grace. They don't really have it in their vocabulary in their religion. See, because if you follow the religion of Islam, the only way you can be accepted by that God is to do good things. Is to make sure everything that you're doing is good. If you want to be a Jehovah's Witness, the only way to be accepted by that God is to make sure you are doing good things and good things and more good things and make sure you're witnessing to everybody you come into contact with. That's the only way to be accepted by that God. If you want to be a Buddhist, The only way to be accepted by that God is to make sure your good outweighs your bad. And as long as it does, God will accept you. Can I tell you, Christianity is the only religion that we are accepted by God, not on the basis of what we do, but on the basis of what He already did. And that's called grace. You see, there's a powerful illustration. How many of you have ever seen the movie War Room? War Room, all right. Man, if you hadn't seen it, you need to see it. But there's a powerful illustration of grace in that movie. See, the husband in that movie is one of the top salesmen in all of America. I mean, he is living the American dream. He's got a huge house in Atlanta, one of the nicest cars there. He's got one of the best families. He's just living the dream. He's the top salesman in his company, just rolling in the money day after day after day. He's getting incentives, vacations, rewards, time off, all this stuff because he's a top salesman. One day, the CEO of the company finds out the reason he's the top salesman is because the stuff he's supposed to be selling, he's keeping to himself and saying he sold it. No wonder he's the top salesman. Because he's keeping all this stuff and saying, yeah, I sold it, I made all this money. So he just keeps on getting rewards. Well, they find out that he's doing that. And of course, the next step is to fire him. Because that is breaking the law. One day, about a few weeks later, the man gets right with God. And the man goes to his boss and says, this is all the stuff that I held back, that I've kept, that I've stolen money. And I've affected this company because of my actions. He said, I just want you to have it back. Because I've made my life right with God. And the boss looks at him and says, do you realize that you deserve to be punished? Do you realize that you can spend 10 of the next 15 years of your life in jail because of what you've done? And you deserve that. And he looks at him and says, you give me 1 week and I'll decide if you're going to be prosecuted or not. Well, they go home that night. A few nights later, they get a knock at their front door. And it's the boss. And they're thinking, well, we're going to jail tonight. The boss looks at the man and says, I just wanted to let you know that I'm not going to prosecute you. I just want to let you know that I'm not going to send you to jail. And I'll let you go free. Well, all of a sudden, that man closes the door and he goes back into the kitchen to his wife and he falls down on his knees and he says, honey, he's letting me go free. How did that just happen? And she looked at him and says one word, grace. She said, grace just happened. You see, that man deserved to be punished. That man deserved to go to jail. That man deserved to pay the price. But instead, the boss handed out something that he did not deserve and let him go free. Can I tell you, if every single one of us in here got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell today. But thanks be unto God that He poured out His grace on us and gave us what we don't deserve through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's grace. We deserve it. But God gives us what we don't deserve. That is a powerful illustration of grace there, of getting what you and I do not deserve. See, if we got justice today, we don't want justice. We need grace. We need grace. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, I've been studying the life of Martin Luther here for the past few weeks. He was a reformer back in the 1500s. And he said a quote that I read the other day that I thought was really good. He said, if we could see what we were saved from, we'd die for fear. But if we could see what we were saved for, we'd die for joy. In other words, he said, if God would just open the lid of hell for 2 seconds, and let us see that that was the place we were going. That was where we were on our way to if it weren't for His grace snatching us out of the pit of hell and taking us to a place called heaven. We'd all shout and rejoice every day of our life. Just for 2 seconds, allow us to see where we should be. Where we were going. Except for God's amazing grace reaching down and pulling us out and saving us for a place called heaven. That's God's grace. You know, Jonathan Edwards, he preached a message in England back in the 1700s, if I'm right. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. And he preached on the message of hell. How awful it's going to be. And he said by the end of the message, there was people on the pews that began climbing the rafters in the church because they were so scared. that if they didn't make things right with God, they were going to go to that place called hell. See, that is a real place, but thank God for His grace that when we accept Christ, we don't have to go there. But He gives us the gift of heaven. If it weren't for grace, we'd all be there. And let me tell you something this morning. You say, but there's no way God will accept me. You don't know what all of I've done. No, I don't know all that you've done. I don't even know what you did last night, but God does. And the amazing thing is, even after all you've done, you can still come to the table and He accepts you just as you are. None of us have earned grace, deserved grace, or paid for grace. We just came as we were and He accepted us. That's grace. So God declares us not guilty, number one, because of grace. Number two, because of redemption, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, we talk about grace and we've talked about it for the past few minutes. We can kind of look at that from a wrong angle too. We can look at it and say, well, you know, yeah, the Bible says we deserve to be punished. We deserve to go to hell. We deserve to pay. And you can look at it as saying, well, God just kind of looked over it. God just kind of said, yeah, I know that's what they deserve, but I'll pass over it this time. I'll let it pass. That's not what God did. God demanded a price be paid for our sin, but the amazing thing is God came down and He paid it for us. Charles Stanley said, holy God not only required a ransom, He paid it. God not only required us to pay, He came down and He paid it. And that's what redemption is all about. Redemption means to purchase or buy back something that was originally yours. To purchase or buy back something that was originally yours. Remember, the price of sin was death. The wages of sin is death. Yet God stepped down and He paid the price of death for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You say, how in the world is that possible? That just all of a sudden we're sinners and in the next moment we're righteous. How is all of that possible? Because Paul said this, He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that though He was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. In other words, this is what happened. I want you to think about your bank account. Say it's got $0 in it. And say God's has an infinite amount. Do you realize what happened on the cross? God switched accounts with us. God made us rich and He became poor. In our account was sin and in Jesus was righteousness. But on the cross, He switched with us. He became sin so that when we trust in Him, we would become righteous. That's what the cross did. He paid the debt that we could not pay. You remember what Jesus said on the cross? That sixth thing that He said in John 19, verse 19. It is, that's right, it is finished. That word means paid in full. Paid in full. In other words, we did not have what it took to pay God the debt that we owed Him. We owed God a huge debt for our sin, but we did not have what it took to pay the price. But yet God, in His mercy and His grace, He sent down His Son Jesus to pay the price for us. And you see, back in this day in the New Testament, the Greek word was tetelestai. If you had a check and it was paid in full, they would have a stamp that said tetelestai on it, and they would stamp it on that check, which meant paid in full. And that's exactly what Jesus did. We didn't have what it took. We didn't have anything that we could pay to God. But Jesus came and said, I paid it for you. And I don't know about you, but that's one of the most amazing things you can think about. And you know what? That's why I just so happen to believe that Christians are to be the happiest people on the face of the planet. Can you smile? Christians are to be the most joyful people on the face of the planet. Let me tell you what would happen. I have a house payment right now that I don't have enough money to pay off the whole thing. I don't. But yeah, that's right. Oh. But let me tell you what would happen this afternoon if old brother Justin was sitting on the couch and somebody pulled up in the driveway and said, hey, I just felt so much love for you that I wanted to write a check to pay off your house. Do you think I'd just sit there and be like, oh, thanks, man. What's on TV? You think I'd do that? No, let me tell you what would happen. You'd see Brother Justin taking some laps around Apple Creek neighborhood saying, "Glory, hallelujah, somebody paid my debt." That's what you'd see Justin doing. So if anybody wants to do that this afternoon, I'll be at home. It would be magnificent joy if that happened. So if I can rejoice and be joyful that that would happen, don't you think that is something that is temporal, that is something that is earthly, that is something that really does not matter in 100 years? Don't you think that I should rejoice and be joyful and shout and say amen at the fact that somebody paid a debt that I could not pay and He gave me a place in heaven? We ought to shout way more about that than somebody paying off our house. Listen to this. We owed God a debt that we could not pay. We owed God a debt that we could not pay. Jesus came and paid a debt that He did not owe. Jesus didn't owe that debt, but He came and He paid it for you and for me. Let me give you one more point and I'll be done. God can declare us not guilty because of grace, redemption, and number three, propitiation in verse number 25. It's a big word, very kind of hard to understand, but verse 25 says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." Now, what does that mean? Another word for propitiation means to basically appease or please. In other words, God's wrath was being poured out on sin because that's who He is. He has to judge sin. But when Jesus poured out His blood and shed His blood, the wrath of God was satisfied. It said it in that song we sung earlier. The wrath of God was satisfied through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, in the Old Testament, I'll tell you this real quick. In the Old Testament, there was a place called the tabernacle. It was the Holy of Holies that was in the back. There sat the Ark of the Covenant, signifying the presence of God. If anybody went in there, other than the Day of Atonement, if they went into the Holy of Holies, what did they do? Immediately dropped dead. Because at that moment, it was a throne of judgment. You were being judged for coming in there. But on that Day of Atonement, high priest would walk in there with the blood of a lamb, sprinkle it on the mercy seat, and instantly that throne of judgment became a throne of grace. Instantly. You know why? Because blood was poured out on it. And God accepts sinners through the blood of the Lamb of God. So you see, that's exactly what happened. The Bible says Jesus went into heaven itself and He poured out His blood for us in the presence of God. And now He sits for us making intercession for us. This very moment. Now, let me say this. Verse 25 says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." Just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven. Just because Jesus came and paid our sin debt does not mean every single person is going to heaven. We were in Charlotte about 2 months ago, and we stopped at a red light, and there was a man sitting there, and he had a sign. And it said, "God loves everybody, therefore everybody is going to heaven." And as I sat there and I thought about that this week, it got my blood boiling. Because do you imagine how many people that deceived that day that drove by? They were having a bad day and thinking, "Man, I'm just having a bad day." But then they saw that sign and said, "Well, at least I'm going to heaven one day. God loves me. Everything's good. I'm just going to go to heaven." You know how many people believe that just because of that? But the Bible says not everybody. It's only those people who exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Acts chapter number 17, it says this. Acts 17, Paul's preaching to the people at Athens. And he says, "But now, God commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He raised him from the dead." God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world by Jesus Christ. What that means is one day every single one of us are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to be judged. And there is only two verdicts. Guilty, not guilty. If you're guilty, the sentence is everlasting fire in a place called hell. If you are not guilty, the sentence is everlasting life in a place called heaven. So let me ask you something. Are you guilty or not guilty? You say, I feel pretty guilty today. It doesn't matter how you feel. Are you guilty or not guilty? You say, I want to be not guilty. How do I do that? Can I start coming to church? You can. How do I become not guilty? Can I start paying my tithe? You can. How can I become not guilty? Can I be a better person? You can. But that will not make you not guilty. The only thing that makes you not guilty and justified in the eyes of God is to look at Jesus and say, I receive you as my Savior. That's it. You can work as hard as you can to become not guilty, and it won't work. The only way to stand before God one day and to be accepted by Him is that one day in your life you receive Christ as your Savior. Musicians, you can come if you would all stand to your feet. I do want to ask you today, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, I don't know you. But you know if there's ever been a day that you have. And I pray that if God has touched your heart this morning, that I'll meet you halfway right down here and show you how you can know today before you walk out of those doors, how that if you died today, you would be accepted by God and allowed to go into heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you we're not accepted because of who we are, but because of who you are. Thank you we're not accepted because of what we do, but because of what you've already done. Father, I pray today that if there's anybody in here, God, who stands before you guilty this morning, and they've never received Christ, I pray today will be the day they receive Christ as their Savior. And God, there's Christians in here today who have received Christ that may feel guilty for the things that they've done. God, the Bible says there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I pray that you'll show us today that it's you who justifies and you who declares us righteous because of our faith in Christ. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.